Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, Kapila's instructions on the execution of devotional service. Text 4. Ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, yavad, artha, parigraha, brahmacharyam, tapa, shocham, swadhyaya, purusharchanam, Ahimsa satyam asteyam, yavadarta parigraha, brahmacharyam tapashocham, swadhyaya purusharchanam. Ahimsa satyam asteyam, yavadarta parigraha, brahmacharyam tapashocham, swadhyaya purusharchanam. Ahimsa satyam asteyam, yavadarta parigraha, brahmacharyam tapashocham, swadhyaya purusharchanam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam,
ahimsa satyam asteyam,
yavadartha parigraha,
yavadartha parigraha,
brahmacharyam tapashocham,
brahmacharyam tapashocham,
swadhyaya purusharthanam,
swadhyaya purusharthanam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam,
ahimsa satyam asteyam,
yavadartha parigraha,
yavadartha parigraha,
brahmacharyam tapashocham,
brahmacharyam tapashocham,
svadhyaya purusharthanam,
svadhyaya purusharthanam.
Ahimsa satyam asteyam,
ahimsa satyam asteyam,
yavadartha parigraha,
yavadartha parigraha,
brahmacharyam tapasucham,
brahmacharyam tapasucham,
swadhyaya pura achanam,
swadhyaya pura achanam. Ahimsa satyam asteyam,
ahimsa satyam asteyam,
yavadartha parigraha,
yavadartha parigraha,
brahmacharyam tapasocham,
brahmacharyam tapasocham,
svadaya purusachanam,
svadaya purusachanam.
Ahimsa,
ahimsa,
non-violence,
non-violence,
satyam,
truthfulness,
asteyam,
refraining from theft,
yavat artha,
as much as necessary,
parigraha, possessing, brahmacharyam, celibacy, tapa, austerity, shocham, cleanliness, swadhyaya, study of the Vedas, purusha archanam, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation.
One should practice non-violence and truthfulness, should avoid thieving, and be satisfied with possessing as much as he needs for his maintenance. He should abstain from sex life, perform austerity, be clean, study the Vedas, and worship the supreme form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Purusharchanam in this verse means worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially the form of Lord Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed by Arjuna that Krishna is the original Purusha, or Personality of Godhead, Purusham Shashvatam. Therefore, in yoga practice, one not only must concentrate his mind on the person of Krishna, but must also worship the form or deity of Krishna daily. A brahmachari practices celibacy, controlling his sex life. One cannot enjoy unrestricted sex life and practice yoga. This is rascaldom. So-called yogis advertise that one can go on enjoying as one likes and simultaneously become a yogi, but this is totally unauthorized. It is very clearly explained here that one must observe celibacy. Brahmacharya means that one leads his life simply in relationship with Brahman, or in full Krishna consciousness. Those who are too addicted to sex life cannot observe the regulations which will lead them to Krishna consciousness. Sex life should be restricted to persons who are married. A person whose sex life is restricted in marriage is also called a brahmachari. The word asteyam is also very important for a yogi. Asteyam means to refrain from theft. In the broader sense, everyone who accumulates more than he needs is a thief. According to spiritual communism, one cannot possess more than he needs for his personal maintenance. That is the law of nature. Anyone who accumulates more money or more possessions than he needs is called a thief, and one who simply accumulates wealth without spending for sacrifice or for worship of the personality of Godhead is a great thief. Swadhyaya means reading the authorized Vedic scriptures. Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. Performance of yoga alone is not sufficient. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, says that all spiritual activities should be understood from three sources, namely, saintly persons, standard scriptures, and the spiritual master. These three guides are very important for progress in spiritual life. The spiritual master prescribes standard literature for the prosecution of the yoga of devotional service, and he himself speaks only from scriptural reference. Therefore, reading standard scriptures is necessary for executing yoga. Practicing yoga without reading the standard literatures is simply a waste of time. Ahimsa satyam asteyam yavadarta parigraha brahmacharyam tapa shocham swadhyaya purusharchanam. One should practice non-violence and truthfulness, should avoid thieving, and be satisfied with possessing as much as he needs for his maintenance. He should abstain from sex life, perform austerity, be clean, study the Vedas, and worship the supreme form of the supreme personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Desha Tarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari Vanchakavaturibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Padidhanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So yes, this is all very relevant and important instruction for those who actually want to progress in yoga practice, let us say, first of all. And of course, in Krishna consciousness, the topmost of all yoga practice. But as Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, even if a person is not Krishna conscious, but is practicing some yoga system, some authentic type of yoga system, not some sort of just speculative practice, then one still needs to do these things. One still needs to do all these things, actually. And as much as possible, worship the supreme form of the supreme personality of Godhead. The supreme form of the supreme personality of Godhead. Not just any form, but the supreme form, which, of course, as Prabhupada explains here, is Krishna. Krishna is, as Prabhupada quotes here, Purusham Shashvatam. This is Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Now it's 10th chapter. Arjuna is speaking, I forget the exact verse, it's around verse 15 or, what is that?
Chapter 10.
I know it's chapter 10, but it's verse 10-10. His Tesham Satati Yukdanam. This is Arjuna responding. Well, yeah, okay. We're just seeing we're into it. Let's have a look and see. It is, what is it now? It is, okay, it is 10, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Arjuna Ruvacha, Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram Paramambhavam, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. Ahus Tvam Rishaya Sarve, Devarshir Naradas Tata, Asito Devalo Vyasa, Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. Arjuna said, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas, confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. So Srila Prabhupada quotes the words, Purusham Shashvatam, from, it's actually from verse 12, because this, there are two verses here, but it's verse 12 of chapter 10. And Purusham Shashvatam literally means, the eternal personality, according to our word for word Paramam, Param Brahma, you are the supreme truth or the supreme Brahman. Param Dham, you are the supreme abode, the supreme abode. Pavitram, you are the purest. Paramam, you are the supreme. Bhavan, Paramam Bhavan, you are the supreme. Purusham Shasvatam, you are the supreme eternal personality. Adi Devam, you are the original Lord, and so on. And not only that, but all the great sages, Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa, the greatest sages in the history, you could say, of the whole of existence, they confirm it. So there you go. So here in this verse, of course, the term which is used is Purusharchanam, worship of the Supreme Person. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, is emphasizing here that Lord Krishna, as per those verses there in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he is the supreme form of the supreme personality of Godhead. Yes. He's not just one amongst many forms of the supreme personality of Godhead, but he is the supreme amongst the supreme, the forms of the supreme personality of Godhead. And therefore it's best if someone is interested in progressing here in yoga, that's basically the point. What should a person who wants to progress in yoga, what should the person do or not do? What should their program be? So first of all, Srila Prabhupada is taking this point from the verse and emphasizing that not only, if we're going to practice yoga nicely, any form of yoga nicely, then it's in the first order of business is that one must concentrate his mind on Krishna, and there are different ways of doing that. Different ways, chanting his holy names, reading the literatures, which is also stated here, and preaching, associating, and so on like that. But also, one must, Prabhupada's saying, one must also worship the form or deity of Krishna daily. Yeah. It's not just a matter of meditation and these other activities which we just mentioned some of. One should also worship the deity form. And that was exemplified by our great acharyas in that they all worship deities, at least so many of them, or at least all the most prominent. Lord Chaitanya did, Lord Nityananda did, Advaita Acharya did, the six Goswamis did, and our main acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva, Vijayabhushan, all these great devotees, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and what to speak of Srila Prabhupada. They all worship deities. Although their main business was chanting the holy names and spreading the chanting of the holy names, they also, all of them, worshipped different deity forms of the Lord. Yeah. You know, one could say that It's the process from Dwapara Yuga. But Dwapara Yuga in cosmic terms was not very long ago. Not very long ago. So it's still highly relevant. Highly relevant. So that's the first thing, at least as Srila Prabhupada discusses the verse. And then he goes on to talk about brahmacharya. A brahmachari practices celibacy, controlling his sex life. And Prabhupada emphasizes here a number of times, he makes the point very strongly that a person certainly cannot enjoy sort of casual illicit sex life and practice yoga, or expect to be able to practice yoga in really progressive and constructive ways. That's just, Prabhupada says, this is rascaldom. This is totally unauthorized. That's pretty unauthorized, to be totally unauthorized. In other words, Srila Prabhupada is strongly making the point. Yes. So, brahmacharya means that one must be fixed. Brahma, of course, means Brahman, the transcendental nature. And acharya or achar means activity. Yes, achar and prachar, what you do and what you say. So brahmacharya means that the person's activities are really fixed on the spiritual platform, or in other words, the devotee is fully engaged in devotional service. Yeah, fully engaged in devotional service and practicing celibacy. Even Srila Prabhupada, of course, mentions here that sex life should be restricted to persons who are married. A person whose sex life is restricted in marriage is also called a brahmachari. In other words, marriage, even though there's this term Srila Prabhupada used, a license for sense gratification. Bona fide grihastha life between two devotees who are seriously trying to progress in Krishna consciousness, this is a valid approach to practicing and developing Krishna consciousness. But the fact that it's called a license for some sense gratification does not mean that the householders can just freely, whenever the feeling comes upon them, engage in sex life. Then it becomes illicit sex. That they may be married properly in Krishna consciousness with a fire sacrifice and like this, all the different aspects of grihastha life in Krishna consciousness. But if they engage just loosely in sex life, then it's illicit sex. And it's strongly counterproductive to progressing in Krishna consciousness. But those householders whose sex life, as Prabhupada says, is restricted in marriage, they're also called brahmacharis. Grihastha brahmachari, as Prabhupada would say sometimes. And It's an interesting little point. We had a conference call yesterday, one of a number, and in it we were discussing about, there was some discussion about different standards in regard to initiations and sort of related subjects. It was quite a big discussion with the chairperson of the Shastric Advisory Committee. And the point was made, the Shastric Advisory Committee, they researched from so many points of view the subject of initiations. And one thing they found out, and which was reported back to us yesterday, is that in other lines, even within Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the only line in which vows are taken, specific commitments are made, particularly, of course, at the time of initiation, but really at any time, the only line is Prabhupada's line, means ISKCON, even in the different branches of the Gaudiya Math, they don't do that. Even the householders, they also become initiated, but they don't take any vows. In fact, generally there's not even any talk about things like how many rounds are you chanting, or things like that. It's not there are no real rules. And certainly, you know, to whatever degree there might be rules, then the emphasizing of them, or the specific accepting of them in the form of taking vows at the time of initiation or any time, it doesn't happen. It actually just more or less doesn't happen at all. And even I recall, actually, it was quite some years ago, maybe, I don't know if it was 20 years, but it might have been something like that. We had a little association with one sannyasi, Gaudiya Math sannyasi, from Chatak Parvat in Puri, and he was chanting 64 rounds a day. And he told us that as far as he knows, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted all the members to chant 64 rounds a day. But he said, nobody does it except him. Maybe there's, you know, someone or two or some extremely small number also in addition. But otherwise, as far as he knows, he's the only one who's really doing it, and he was upset about it. Yes. So anyway, taking vows. So in Krishna consciousness, we take vows. And in yoga, in any form of yoga, which is the person is trying to practice seriously, there'll also be that at least that sense of such strong decisions to do or not to do certain things that they can be considered vows, and brahmacharya is one of them. And again, as Prabhupada says here, though, for example, those who are too addicted to sex life cannot observe the regulations which will lead them to Krishna consciousness. And if you cannot observe the regulations which will lead you to Krishna consciousness, it does sound like you're not going to become Krishna conscious. You're not going to come to Krishna consciousness. Maybe some distant relative of Krishna consciousness, but not the real thing. Just like one devotee Srila Prabhupada was in, if I remember correctly, was actually in Bhaktivedanta Manor shortly after, 1973, shortly after we moved in there. And some nice Hindu family had donated a what they told us was a tulsi. But this tulsi was very big. I mean, it was over head height and big leaves. And the devotees at that point didn't really know the difference between real tulsi and the forms of other members of the basil family, if you want to put it that way. The particular family that tulsi appears in. And they didn't know that it's not uncommon amongst Hindu people who are pious and they are trying to practice their dharma to some degree, and they know that worshipping tulsi is part of it. It's not so unusual that they have a tulsi, or actually a basil. Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada came, and there were the devotees doing tulsi puja. And Prabhupada said that this is not tulsi. And a devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, that it is a relative of tulsi. And Prabhupada said, we do not want a relative. We want the real tulsi. Yes. So, what was it said? Those who are too addicted to sex life cannot observe the regulations which will lead them to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So if you don't observe those regulations, you're not going to really come to Krishna consciousness. Maybe some type of relative of Krishna consciousness. But we don't just want a relative. We want the real thing. And then, very interesting point, the word asteyam is, Prabhupada says, also very important for a yogi. Asteyam means to refrain from theft. And Prabhupada applies this, well, of course, we want to also refrain from theft. we definitely want to refrain from stealing. I remember we had just got Bhaktivedanta Manor. I had joined the movement maybe six or seven months before or something like that. And out at the manor, a special phenomenon occurred, that there were two entrances, and it's a big building, and there are two entrances, one on either side, and, you know, it's a bit of, not long, but a bit of a walk through the building to the other entrance. And if you came in at one entrance and left your shoes there, but then, for, I'm sure, service reasons, you had to then go out the other entrance, but your shoes were at the first entrance. Well, you'd have to go running back, get your shoes, and come back around. But would you believe, devotees, our GBC, Shamsunda Prabhu, he was a character. Oh, he was very nice, but he was a character. And he developed the practice that, or first of all, the idea, my service is so important that I haven't got time to go running back to the other entrance, get my shoes, and then come around. So he developed, on the basis of that philosophy, he developed the practice of just putting on any pair of shoes that happened to be at the door, no matter whose they were. Oh yes, that became a whole thing. And so everyone, I don't know about everyone, but many devotees started doing that. And I remember on numerous occasions coming out to where my shoes were, but they weren't there. And so I would also take someone else. And later I'd come back, my shoes would be there again. Oh, Krishna's mercy. But they say that it happened to Prabhupada. Prabhupada came out and his shoes were not there. Either at the manor, it may have been in New York, and Srila Prabhupada saw his shoes were not there, and, you know, the devotees, his assistants, they were all, you know, concerned, obviously. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, it is a great mystery. Where have his shoes gone? So one should definitely not be a thief. But the way Prabhupada applies it here is that, in the broader sense, everyone who accumulates more than he needs is a thief. Simple living, high thinking. Yes. So, well, devotees should do that. All devotees should do that. Even householders should be aware, should not get into extravagance and just accumulation for the sake of having more. Prabhupada says, according to spiritual communism, one cannot possess more than he needs for his personal maintenance. That is the law of nature. In Ishapanishad, we have just been, and we just are, continuing to study the earlier verses in which the subject of quotas is discussed. Prabhupada particularly discusses it in a broader sense, that different species have different quotas. And like he talks about the cows, they have a particular quota to eat grass, and they produce milk. But to drink the milk, even though they produce tons of milk, it's not their quota, and they don't drink it. But it's part of the quota of humans. And as we said, we apologize to the vegans, but Srila Prabhupada makes the point strongly that to drink the milk of the cow is part of the quota for human beings. And so anyone who just accumulates without spending for sacrifice or for worship of the Supreme Lord is a great thief. Yeah. You know, in other words, obviously some funds can be accumulated for the service of the Lord, but they should be used in the service of the Lord. And just simple accumulation, that's, again, it's another thing which will affect the devotee's efforts to progress in Krishna consciousness, or in the broader sense, to progress in whatever form of yoga they're performing. And then, yes, the last point, as Prabhupada presents things in the purport, Lord Kapila mentions non-violence. Prabhupada doesn't really discuss it in the purport. Elsewhere, Prabhupada definitely discusses non-violence. That it can be said that non-violence, a meaning and understanding of non-violence, can be that one could spread Krishna consciousness, but one does not. One might be in a situation where one could give people Krishna consciousness, but one does not. One refrains from that. So that can be taken as a form of violence. even though you're just minding your own business, you're not doing anything with anyone, but you're also not giving them Krishna consciousness, so it's a form of violence. So, but anyway, swadhyaya means reading the authorized Vedic scriptures, and Prabhupada makes the point that even if someone is not Krishna conscious, but is practicing some form of yoga, that person must read the standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. And to just do the yoga, whatever type it is, Jnana yoga, Karma yoga, Ashtanga yoga, Sankhya yoga, all these forms of yoga are discussed in Bhagavad Gita and in different places in our literatures. Yes, so performance, the point, Prabhupada makes the point, that performance of whatever your yoga is, and of course, Krishna consciousness, is not sufficient. One must read the literatures. And Prabhupada refers to Narottam Das Thakur, who says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, what comes after that? Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. Anyway, yeah, at least that. And there's something else comes after that. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. It's not Chite Te. Ah, yes, it is. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chite Te Kariya Aikya. If we want to become saintly persons, or if we want to return to our original Krishna consciousness, we must associate with sadhu, a saintly person, shastra, authoritative Vedic literature, and guru, a bona fide spiritual master. That, this is the process. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a universal principle then for everyone and anyone and everyone who's trying to practice some form of yoga. And Prabhupada concludes the purport. Well, interesting point. The spiritual master, or these three guides, are very important for progress in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master prescribes standard literature for the prosecution of the yoga of devotional service. Sometimes, there is a little controversy or something like that. What comes first? I mean, in terms of sources of information, what's most important? And some say, Shastra. I mean, there's certainly arguments can be made for that. Because a person can only be sort of considered or understood to be a bona fide guru or sadhu if they're conforming with Shastra. But if the person is a bona fide, as Prabhupada says here, spiritual master, then the spiritual master prescribes which of the Vedic literatures to read. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. We don't just read the Vedic literatures. There are many Vedic literatures. And there are at least a number which are very close to the main literatures that we read under Prabhupada's direct direction, but we don't read them. At least Prabhupada didn't instruct us to read them. You know, certain of the Puranas, Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, they're very close. But we don't, generally we don't read them. Yeah. So the spiritual master prescribes standard literature for the prosecution of the yoga of devotional service, and he himself speaks only from scriptural reference. Therefore, reading standard scriptures is necessary for executing yoga. Practicing yoga, including devotional service, practicing yoga without reading the standard literatures is simply a waste of time. Hare Krishna. Again, very sort of forthright statement by Prabhupada. Simply a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Kevalam. Only a waste of time. We must bear that in mind and remember that we are students in Krishna consciousness, eternal students. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.